the power of imagination in faith. Prophetic imagination in faith. So two people can be declaring the same thing, but their minds are not the same. How do you answer a person whose consistent thought pattern is consistently against what he's praying for? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The place of imagination can bring into the present, it can make it happen immediately, and then it will now play out over time. Ah, Jesus. If the devil can defeat you inside, he has defeated you. There is a battle where you have to tell yourself, I must believe what God has said. See, you know that you have won the battle of faith when inside you have accepted it. Tell your neighbor, guard your heart. Thank you, Jesus. For somewhere, God is saying, the faithfulness of the past is what you need for the future. My faithfulness in your past is what you need in your future. You know, yesterday, when we were talking about faith for challenging times, we began to mention that you must remember that there is nothing bigger than God. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 10, I think from verse 13, where it says, there are no temptation taking you, but such as is common unto man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape. So, the same package in which the temptation or the trial came, the escape is already there. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11. You know, whenever we look at the story of Abraham and how God gave him his testimony, there is a temptation to think that it was all about what Abraham did. And we don't look at what Sarah did. In fact, many times people portrayed Sarah as the one who was in constant doubt. Because she laughed when the angel said, by this time next year you will have a child. Or by this time, according to the time of life, there will be a change. But as I read the Bible, or as I read the Bible, I discovered that Sarah had a large part to play. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 8. I'm reading, my emphasis is in verse 11, but I'm reading verse 8 because I just love the Bible. Hebrews 11 from verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, verse 11, everybody. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So, she received strength to conceive. So it was not just about Abraham. The reason why she could also conceive was because she judged him faithful. Certainly, God is faithful. She judged him faithful who had promised. So you must remind yourself again and again that God is faithful. Certainly, God is faithful. Before I go into what I want to teach you today, I have to just drop one or two of these thoughts here and there. Another thought you need to hold on strongly in your heart is that whatever you lose inside will be lost outside. And let me explain. Have you had this experience, or did you have this experience in school, maybe in the university, when you were let's say, 3 weeks to the exam, and you felt like, I don't have time again to really read and prepare for this course. You know what? Let it just go. Anyhow, it wants to be, let it just be. And so, when you make that decision, you are still reading, no? You are still preparing. You are still doing what you need to do. But it is not with the same kind of confidence you were preparing and reading when you had like 8 weeks to the paper. Are you with me? And then you prepared, but that decision you made conditioned your mind in a certain way. And then you read, you did what you could do in the 3 weeks that you had, and then you got into the paper. And by the time you got into the paper, you felt like, if I prepared a little more, I would have cleared this exam even much more. So you passed, but you passed by just a narrow escape. And you felt like, it was not that tough. I would have actually prepared more if I just put in a little more effort. I would have done better. Who knows what I'm talking about? You know what happened? What happened was that long before you met the challenge, you already lost your confidence. Or while you were passing through that challenge, you lost your confidence. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews starts in chapter 10, verse 35, before introducing the faith subject. He said, verse 35, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For a little while, he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. For he had need of patience. After you have done the will of God, you receive the promise. But my emphasis is, cast not away your confidence. Can you preach to someone by your side, cast not away your confidence? There is a way you can position your mind, even though you are still praying. Even though you are fasting, you are fasting and praying from a place of lost confidence. And so, just the same way you conditioned your mind in a defeated state before you wrote the exam, and by the time you got to the exam, you found out that if you prepared a little more, you would have scaled even higher. It's the same way when you are going through a phase of your life and you lose your confidence, you already reduce the expected results. You know, I heard a testimony, a faith testimony that touched me. Oh my God. Let me tell you something, in your life, before I go into what I want to say. In your life, when God gives you an idea, when God inspires you with something, please act on it immediately. It is better you act on it immediately and fail, than you don't act on it at all. Did you hear what I said? I say this with heaviness. Pastor Nkechi Ene is late. I was supposed to invite her to preach on faith. Listen to me. So, last year, I heard her preach at Wolfbeck, Pastor Podru, the great Pastor Podru, Emade's conference. And I was like, no, I'm going to invite this woman. Then I said, listen to me. I said, when new breed is much more bigger, I will invite her. 2 months later, I ran into her at the airport. We spoke. I got her contact from her PA. Her PA gave me her contact and said, okay, you know what? You can, when you want to host her, just reach out to me. We'll just tell mama she will come. So I was waiting for when we will be bigger. Kai. Are you know what I'm saying? And then, one morning I went on Instagram and saw she's late. I almost fainted. I felt like God trying to tell me,
pained me. It pained me so much. But well, that's by the way. What I want, the testimony I want to share is her testimony. That's why I'm talking about her. Are you with me? She gave a testimony about how when she and her husband got married about, I think, 30-something years ago, or 35 years ago, or something like that, that because of their jobs, they were both engineers. I knew they were engineers in slum. Is this slum Beja or Halibut? I don't know, but they were engineers. And they were working in one of these African countries. I think Tunisia. And they had a very wicked boss who vowed that both of them will not go on honeymoon. They just got married. And they had to resume at work the next day. They didn't have any time to spend together and all of that. And so, what the manager was doing intentionally was when this one is free, he will make sure this other one is in the shift. When this other one is free, he will make sure this other one is in the shift. So, they came together and prayed. And supernaturally, God removed the boss and brought another one who allowed them to go and have their time together. And then they said they were looking for a hotel. Every hotel they saw was fully booked. Every hotel they saw was fully booked. Then they got to a particular hotel, and this hotel was like a slum. It was so dirty, so somehow. And then the people at the counter said, "If we should manage this one, no, you will not see any other place anywhere." Are you following me? You won't see any other place. Everywhere is booked. This is the only place. And it was just somehow. In Tunisia. In fact, the light cell was not even working very well. They were like, how are we going to stay here? Our first time as a couple. No. So, at a point, they said they were considering, should we just manage and stay in this place? But then, something within them felt like, you know what? Let's go and check for another place. Why am I bringing this up? Cast not away your confidence. There are so many people who are settling for less than what God planned for them. I want to beg you. Can you tell your neighbor, don't settle. Tell your neighbor, don't settle. Believe for God's best. And so, her and her husband, they were just contemplating. You know what? We have been checking everywhere for hotels all through the night. We didn't see almost 15 hotels. Nothing. Everywhere booked. And the only one available was like a slum. Everywhere scattered. The light is not working well. People are making noise downstairs with speakers and disturbing the whole place. Part of the rooms are smelling cigarettes, some is smelling drinks, alcohol is just somehow. Why should we stay here? Or maybe we should manage. And then her and her husband said, you know what? We will not stay here. We will keep on searching throughout the night until we find a good place. If we don't find a good place, we will continue. And guess what? They drove for another 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and found a place shining with light. So, mommy, you've heard that testimony, Abby. So, they said, let us check out this place. It was a brand new hotel that was built. And they were looking for people to launch it that day. So, they thought it was a joke. They entered inside. And then some people clapping for them. You're our first customer. Please help us cut the ribbon. Okay. Carried them. He said the place was so sweet. It was, according to her, it was like pure milk. By the time they climbed the hotel, stayed over, they were like, thank God. Thank God we refused to settle. Are you listening to me? Thank God we refused to settle. Thank God we pressed on. But she said, this is the part that got her. The room had the balcony. And in the morning, her and her husband just came up from the balcony to take fresh air. And just behind that new hotel they were was the hotel they wanted to manage. And from where they were seeing that place they wanted to just manage. And she was saying, many times when people choose to lose their confidence and settle, they are very close to what God has prepared for them. Let me tell you something. Once you know this is not where it ought to be in your heart, don't settle. That feeling you are having, see, every one of us knows in our spirit when this is it. Are you getting what I'm saying? This thing, I don't want to distract myself, but this thing I just talked about, even in marriage. Don't say, maybe just settle. When your heart is telling you, this is not it. This is not it. Don't settle. Tell somebody, cast not away your confidence. Cast not away your confidence. And let me tell you, if you live your life by this thing I just said, what people are calling the zenith of destiny will be your starting point. I thought you would say amen. Respond to the work of the Spirit in your heart, telling you there is more. Now, I'm not just talking about worldly covetousness and all of that. I'm talking about when you know genuinely God has more for me. There has to be more. And you accept and embrace God's plan. There are times in your life where people may look at you and say, you are not doing bad. But deep in your spirits, you know that this cannot be the summit of my destiny. There has to be more. I have to do more for the Lord with my life. My life has to count for more. Are you with me? Tell somebody, cast not away your confidence. Oh, you are believing God for something and it doesn't seem to happen. Keep on believing. Oh, keep on believing. It may not happen the way you are expecting, but eventually God has a bigger plan for you. Are you with me? You know, it is easy to ignore teachings like this because it is almost safer. When you are expecting nothing, you won't have any disappointments. It is safer to say, you know, I don't really believe God for so much. I'm just content. But when are you content or you are playing safe? You know, me and you were talking about Reformed theology yesterday. I think I'm going to do a teaching. I'm going to do a, what I call a defense for charismatic faith. Because there are groups of people, new religious sects rising up, which are genuinely saved. They love God. They believe in God. But they feel, you know, I was seeing lady status. She used to attend a great ministry. And then she said, word of faith and prosperity teaching has destroyed Nigeria. Listen. Now, she's not entirely wrong. She has some points. But you can't claim that his word of faith and prosperity has destroyed Nigeria. There are people that are preaching prosperity and the teaching of faith with excesses out of the biblical standard, are you with me? And producing error. But that does not mean it is not the work of God. Because there is not, see, even the Reformed movement, they have their excesses and they have the things that Satan has taken over. Are you with me? And there are some people that try to present the fact that anybody preaching and teaching about the fact that God can provide for you, God can prosper you, God can heal you from sicknesses, God can make a way for you. Anybody who is preaching that is preaching a false gospel. Do you know that? There are some people that who knows I'm talking about? There are some people that believe that it's all about salvation. holiness and making heaven. And when you talk about things like this, they feel like you are trying to use false hope to drag people to yourself and manipulate them. No. No. Are there people who try to use the Bible to manipulate people? Yes. But to claim that God does not promise us in his word that we can walk with him apart from salvific faith, faith for salvation, there is charismatic faith. Are you telling us that God did not promise us that in his word? No. You can't say that. We're all the ones that told ourselves, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done unto you. And Jesus was talking to an actual tree. He was not talking about salvation. Are you with me? He was not talking about salvation. And even the subject of word of faith, the context of word of faith is salvation. You know that. In Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt believe in thy heart and declare with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. I'm going to prepare that teaching very well. The defense of charismatic faith. Jesus wanted to pray for someone. And Jesus asked him, do you believe? And the man said, I believe, help my unbelief. Why was, if faith did not matter in the miracles that Jesus was doing, why was he asking them, do you believe? If faith did not matter in the miracles that Jesus did on the earth, when he was in the boat, and the people were looking at him and they were saying, care not thou that we perish. And then Jesus stood up from sleep and said, O ye of little faith, peace be still. So Jesus believed that if you really have strong faith in him, you will not cry, you will speak. You will speak to the storm. So, we are not the ones that made up the concept of charismatic faith. Charismatic faith was demonstrated by Jesus himself. Are you with me? Faith for healing, faith for deliverance, faith for provision, faith for open doors. Are you with me? Jesus was the one that demonstrated it. Charismatic faith is not our idea, it's God's idea. Praise the Lord. Say after me, I'm blessed. Thank you, Jesus. I want to share something, and I'll try and be fast. However, if you have questions, typical me, I like to take questions, because the reason why I like to do question and answer in conferences like this is because there is so much to talk about. And many times, one teaching or two teachings or three teachings may not even cover it. But questions help you filter into the personal, the particular issue going on. And like I said yesterday, I think I'm looking forward to when we'll be having longer meetings, or we'll put it like this, shorter meetings for longer days. So every day, 1 hour, 30 minutes, 1 hour, 30 minutes, 1 hour, 30 minutes for 30 days. That consistency, that's what it does to you. That's why the early church and the present church are not the same. Do you know what it means that they were meeting every day? What you will learn in 1 month, they will learn in 1 week. Yes, in a month we have roughly 8 services. 1 midweek service, 1 Sunday service, 4 weeks in a month. That's 2 services for times 4 weeks. That's 8. 8 services. What they learn in 1 week, you will learn. What they learn in 1 week, you will learn in 1 month. And the way knowledge works is that it's like a build up. Those of you who attended, or I believe most of us who went through secondary school, my own experience, I discovered that I began to understand the things they taught in SS1 when I was in SS2. It seems like, the connection is happening inside. Okay. Is this why this? Yes, that's why it's happening like that. So, many times, one of the problems we've had in spiritual development in the church is that things are rushed. We have January series. People have not even finished understanding January series. February has come. Oh, love, marriage, dating. March. And sometimes you cannot even blame the pastors, because people, many times, they like when something is just happening. Something should just be happening. To stay on one thing for a long time, after a while, even this match, at a point, I could feel it, for example, is it every time we are learning about money? Okay, Pastor, we are consecrated to God. We are consecrated. We are not materialistic. Can you learn something again? I think it was George Whitefield. He preached in his church for almost 300 days. And you know what he was talking about? You must be born again. He thought about born again to the point where one day, the elders of the church came and said, "Sir, excuse us, sir. We have a question. Since the beginning of this year, you have been preaching about marvel not, I say unto you, ye must be born again." You see, we are born again now. We have accepted that we need to be born again. Then he said, "That is the reason why, for you to be asking me this question, that means marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again." Hey! But let me tell you the truth. That is the way spiritual growth works. Billy Graham, like I was saying some time ago, Billy Graham had a crusade. Did you guess how many days the crusade was? In 1968, 88 days crusade. And all he was preaching for the 88 days is, "Are you saved?" That's why when you are saved after that kind of meeting, you are really saved. You are saved. You are saved. But today, we are doing things, you know. My God. One of the funniest altar calls I ever saw. They called somebody to come out. People came out for altar call. The guy came out with his phone. Someone said, "Guy, please, I have the package I'm asking." I said, "Don't worry, they come. I did altar call." I did altar call. And you think that person is saved? Has he really entered? It takes a while for the truth of this thing to settle in your spirit. And that's where real faith is. It has entered your spirit. It has entered your spirit. You know it like you know your name. You know it. God is faithful. You know it. Praise the Lord. Because right now, there are things that are substance in your heart. There are things you know. There are things that have become solid inside of you. And until the software inside is changed, the output will not be different. It takes a while for the software inside to be changed. And once it's changed inside, the output will be different. You know, let me tell you something. Have you ever asked yourself, what is learning? What is learning? Learning is an understanding that changes human behavior. If it has not changed your behavior, you have not learned. So for instance, if a child, I remember when Joy was growing up, somebody put on a candle. Was it Joy or another child? I cannot remember. But somebody put on a candle and the child was going to touch the candle. And they were shouting, "Don't touch the candle. Don't you know it will burn you?" All those things they were saying, they were trying to teach the child, but the child was not learning. Are you with me? Then the child, when nobody was looking, sneaked carefully and touched the candle. After a while, nobody was talking to the child, but the child was not going close to the candle. "Huh? Go and touch it down." "No." Now, why is the child acting differently? He has learned. The behavior, there is an understanding that came that has gotten him to learn. Are you with me? Let me tell you something. If your behavior does not change, you've not really learned it. For instance, there are certain things I have learned that influences my behavior. In working with God, there are things I have learned that influences my behavior. God expects that as He's training you, you should be learning. For instance, maybe you are going through a tough time.
and then somehow you had a stare to pray and fast. And after you prayed and fast, there was a breakthrough. God expects that you have learned something about prayer and fasting. Are you getting me? Maybe you had a nudge in your spirit. Something was troubling you about a decision, but you went ahead and made the decision. And then things did not play out right. You would have, God is expecting you to learn that from next time when you have that kind of knowing inside, pay attention. Are you with me? But when you see a case where, and there are cases like that, where people are going through things, but the Bible calls them dull of hearing. They are not learning. Are you getting me? They are not learning. Are you with me? And so I want to share with you something I have learned. I can call it the power of imagination in faith. Prophetic imagination in faith. You know the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12, it says that ye be not slothful. Now I want to say something before I go on. Please. Going forward, when you come for a new breed service, make sure you come with the writing material. Whether it is digital, whether it is phone, make sure you are writing. And very soon I will say it must be physical. I'm telling you, I am discovering, you see this technology is destroying us. If you think it, ink it. The faintest pen is stronger than the sharpest brain. I am discovering, see this thing is destroying us. It's destroying our attention span. It's destroying our concentration span. And you know why I say it's destroying us? That is one of the most important things in the realm of the spirit. The ability to concentrate. When last did you stay for 3 hours without touching your phone, without doing this? 4 hours without doing that thing. It has made us, your spirit cannot stay on something for a long time. And it's that incubation that gives you substance in your spirit. This one we are talking here, the real faith thing, this real faith thing, something must enter inside. Do you know what it is when someone has entered? I did an experiment some years ago. I was in a meeting and I asked them, how many people have this experience where you read your Bible and when you're reading your Bible, it's as if a scripture from the Bible just jumped out and he entered you. Most Christians don't have that experience again now. Because now, even if you read on news, they have killed 40 people in Jos. That is something that you should not scroll past quickly. But you're like, they have done it again. Fiam. Your spirit cannot stay on something. It's a training. And that's why now, for instance, something happened to me recently. My AirPod got bad. The both of them got bad and I threw them away. And I've made no attempt to buy a new one. Even though I need, I will still buy. The reason is, I am retraining myself to pray without earpiece. Some people cannot pray without an earpiece. Just plug in their ear. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. They are putting song in the background. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. I'm not feeling it. It's not rising. I'm not feeling it. Baba, pray. Whether you are feeling it or not. How did the apostles pray? No mic, no keyboard. Maybe that's why their prayer was powerful. They were able to differentiate between emotional hype and spiritual power. Their prayer was, you know what it means to pray? No sound, no music, no speaker. In prison. They're praying. Praying in tongues. No powerful sound compilation. That's why when God's servant, the great Reverend Oyakhilome, said there is no music ministry, people were angry. We were vexing. But see, he knows why he said what he said. Music, no, don't misunderstand me. I'm a music minister. I believe in music ministry. Mm-hmm. Do you get me?
I believe is a legit ministry. But when you put the tool above the God, are you with me? There are people that cannot attend churches without AC. There are people that they don't know what it means to. They are rugged. Rugged faith. Praise the Lord. So, learn to have writing materials. Learn to pray and put off your phone. No, you are writing. You hear something, you write. As you're in service now, if you're not with writing material, type. When you see that WhatsApp message, that urge to respond immediately, keep it first. When the urge dies, you respond. I'm coming to discover, nothing is more important than God. We say it, but do we really believe it? We've gone through a lot in the last few weeks as a church. But I believe some of you can now attest to the fact, when you see somebody in a casket, when you see somebody lifeless, you know that there is nothing more important in this world than God. Nothing is compulsory. Oh, that thing that looks so compulsory. God forbid anything happens to your life goes. When you stand before God, is that what you'll be thinking about? Is it that shoe, that business, that car? Is that what you'll be thinking about? Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. So you train yourself to write. Train yourself to write. And sometimes it's not even because you might go back to what you wrote. It's not just because you will go back to what you wrote. It is because the process of writing has a way of bringing your mind into focus. When you are not writing, you are just there. You are sitting passively. But by the time you are writing, you are processing the thought. Has it ever happened to you before where someone is talking to you? Then you are writing a note, but you don't know when you started writing what the person was saying. Because what's happening is that unconsciously, your mind is receiving information and translating it. That process of receiving and translating makes it stronger in your mind. In fact, when I was in school, one of the ways I read to pass it, when I want to really finish a course, you know what I used to do? I will engage all my senses. This is for students. I will be reading with my eye, I'll be reading with my mouth, and I'll be writing at the same time. By the time there was a course I did like that, I spent 20 hours on the course. Reading with my mouth, with my eye, and with my hand. Writing. See notes, copied, wrote. By the time I went for the exam, clean A. Clean A. There were some, when I want to be very brutal with a course, I'll read the entire course material 8 times. Back to back, read it, just read it, turn it upside, read it, I was doing the work of God in school, but it pained me that I did not finish with the first class. It pained my lecturer that I didn't finish with the first class. Because my last result in university was 4.95. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that to blow any trumpet. I'm just telling you that it works. If you can concentrate, it works. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 6 verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So that means one of the ways to understand faith is to look at the people who have gone ahead and how they demonstrated faith, and then you learn from their ways and implement it in your life. You study the examples in the Bible of how people demonstrated faith. And one of the things you will discover is, see, remember when Pastor Wisdom was teaching on Wednesday, faith is substance. One of the things you will discover is that if anything will really happen physically, it was first of all have happened in the spirit. It has happened inside the person. It has happened in the realm of the spirit. So, for instance, if you see a man with a red UBA card, or with a red Zenith card, or a white Access Bank card, goes to a car stand, gives them
the card and say, I want that car. GLK 350. Or he says, I want that Lexus Jeep. People should know cars now. Give me GX 460. My own, that's my own. Amen. Amen. People don't, you're not saying amen for me. Say, so I want to buy that GX 460. And then you just put the card. And then they swap the card. Say, congratulations, sir. Carry the car. And I drive the car and go. And you say, I think I've gotten the formula to buy a car. Go and find a white Access Bank card. Make sure it's white. Okay. Pastor David was wearing a white trad that day. Make sure I wear a right trad up and down. Make sure I find a car stand. Give the man my card. When I give the man my card, I'll tell him, swipe it for me. And then he should make sure it goes. And he will tell me, congratulations. If that happens, then I have a car. What the person is not seeing. Now, in the physical, what all they are seeing is white traditional, white card, car stand, collect card. They are not seeing what is inside the card. Are you getting me? There was a substance inside the card that gave you the confidence to go and say, swipe it. There are many people, the way they are practicing faith, they have not gotten the substance inside the card. They just said, okay, I saw that man, he was just shouting, I cannot be poor. Then, Are you getting me? The substance that produced that confession or something that happened within them, something that happened inside them, they don't see it. And it is that thing that happened inside that produces the real faith miracle. Are you getting me? Okay. So, the place of prophetic imagination. So, two people can be declaring the same thing, but their minds are not the same. Oh my God. Two people can be saying the same things, but the state of their mind is not the same. Have you ever had this experience where you are praying about something but thinking about another thing? It's something to fight to. You are praying about one thing but you are thinking about something else. I'm going to show you some text in the Bible that shows us a straight connection between our thoughts pattern, our imagination, and manifestation. So, number one, look at Ephesians 3 verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So he's saying that in the realm of the spirit, many times your asking is as good as your thinking, or your thinking is as good as your asking. So what do you do if you are God when someone is asking for something but is thinking something else? Ah, my God. How do you answer a person whose consistent thought pattern is consistently against what he's praying for? So you know that already that tells you there will be a delay. God will have to wait to make sure you are thinking what you are asking. And you are asking what you are thinking. And God is able to make, to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Do you get this? Now look at Proverbs 23 from verse 7. You know this one. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. He was talking about when you go to the house of a ruler, or you go to the house of someone who is in power and all of that. Put a knife to your throat. Don't just eat everything that is said before you.
He will tell you eat and drink, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, he's telling you that the way a man thinks in his heart, or the way his imaginations are, that is the definition of the man. Do you realize they did not say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he will be? The place of imagination can bring into the present, it can make it happen immediately. And then it will now play out over time. Ah, Jesus. If the devil can defeat you inside, he has defeated you. That's why I started with cast not away your confidence. Remember? So, there is a battle. You know, Joyce Meyer called it the battlefield of the mind. There is a battle where you have to tell yourself, I must believe what God has said. Like, you have to convince yourself that what God has said, it is true. It is true. There, see, you know that you have won the battle of faith when inside you have accepted it. The Bible calls it, and Abraham was fully persuaded. What do you mean by fully persuaded? Meaning it took time. Tell your neighbor, guard your heart. That takes me to Proverbs 4 verse 23. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4 verse 23. It says, keep thy heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. He's not saying out of it are the problems of life. Out of, just the same way water issues out of a pipe. Out of it is the outflow of life. Whatever you have in that your heart, that is what your life will begin to look like. That's why, see, when I preach, I don't preach like I'm preaching to 20 people, 50 people, 100 people. No. I know. Let me tell you something. I know like I know my name. I am a global minister. I know it. By the grace of God, I can preach on any platform in the world. Something happened last year, December. I went for a meeting with my father in the Lord. A great meeting. His biggest meeting in the year. And he gave me a lifetime opportunity. I was surprised. I didn't see it coming. Like, I was supposed to go for the afternoon session just to be blessed. Those meetings is his meeting. I'm not going to preach. It's not like I was planning to do anything. I was at the meeting and I just got a text message from him directly. You are preaching in 1 hour time. In 1 hour, prepare yourself. I'm going to call you out for 5 minutes. You say something. Huh? Sir. I was like, this is a meeting where on ground there are about 8,000 people. Online, there are about 50,000 people. Ah. Okay. What in the world is this? So I was just racking my head. What am I going to talk about? When am I going to talk about? At a point, I now remembered something. I remember that if the opportunity came to me, then I'm prepared. If I was not prepared, it will not come. So what should happen is the natural me should just flow. Are you with me? I understood that. So I got on the podium and I told myself, I can preach a lot. So I said, 5 minutes, my 5 minutes will be 5 minutes. So I put a timer and began to talk. I shared something that, if you ask me, that's not one of the deepest things I've shared ever. People who attend, who follow me closely, you know that 5 minutes, by the time I got to my seat, my phone was buzzing. Buzzing. People were asking me, please, I went to search on you on Facebook, on Instagram. Who are you? Where have you been? What kind of insight is that? That day I got 80 followers on Instagram alone. Just by evening I saw 80 people had followed me. I said, okay, this is serious. I think for the next 2-3 weeks, people were calling me, what kind of teacher are you? What kind of... Now, let me tell you the truth. If on a normal day, I prepare for services like I'm preaching to a local group of people, that cannot happen. Are you with me? That cannot happen.
That cannot happen. No.
Are you following me?
As he thinketh in his heart, so he is. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I know, in this same Port Harcourt, in this same building, very soon, when we are having this kind of conferences, we have to put canopies outside. Amen. I'm telling you. What do you think? How do you see yourself? And this is a fight, though. Remember I told you, guard it with all diligence, because there will be many times where you just want to accept, maybe I'm actually just overhyping myself. There will be thoughts coming to your mind to tell you, maybe you're actually a failure. Can you just accept that this thing is not working? Just accept it's not working. Are you following what I'm saying? Maybe you're not really cut out for business. Maybe you're not really cut out for. But you know within you. No, so there's a different thing when you don't know. But when you already know in your heart, I'm supposed to be doing this thing. When God has already given you a divine protocol, okay, you are going to be in business. You are going to have this. You are going to have. He has already shown you the picture. But sometimes there is that struggle within. You have to now tell yourself, I will guard my heart. Are you with me? I will guard my heart. This business will not die. This vision will not die. Are you with me? This future God has shown me, it will come to pass. I will go to school. I will finish well. I will be a blessing to my world. I will marry well. Amen? And listen, don't let anybody shame you. When you are fighting for your faith, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Leave their opinions to their opinion. Let their opinions be with their onions. Leave them. Leave them. See, right now, I don't care what you think. You see this, David? Before the Lord Jesus comes, even if he's coming next week, this ministry will be at the forefront of the gospel globally. We will minister to thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, raising them as soldiers for Jesus. No building very soon in this country will be able to take all of new people together. Are you with me? You guard your hearts. You guard your heart. As a leader, if you don't guard your heart, you make mistakes. You make careless mistakes. And after you have made the mistakes, you say, I wish I knew. Guard your heart with all diligence. Are you with me? That was what happened to Peter when he was walking on water. As long as he was looking at Jesus, his heart was taking possibility. Possibility. When he removed his heart, his eyes from Jesus and began to look at the waves, he began to sink. What do you mean he began to sink? If you drop water, if you drop a stone or a solid inside water, it just sinks. It doesn't begin to sink. It's telling you how people begin to reduce. It happens gradually. So you need to ask yourself, what are you thinking? What are you looking at? And sometimes it may look like you are losing your balance. You want to look at the challenge, but then you have to put yourself together. This is what God has said. This is what God has said. I will stick to it. Are you with me? And even God used this principle. If you check Genesis 1 verse 31. And God saw that everything that he had made. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, the Bible says, and God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. You will be thinking that as at the time he was saying it, everything had happened. But if you go to Genesis, I've taught that here before, right? If you go to Genesis chapter 2 from verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended from his work which he had made, and rested from the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Please read on. He rested from all his work which God created and made. Verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. Wait, what do you mean God created the
earth and the grass of the field before it grew. Please don't miss this one. So where were they? In the spirit. And where was he seeing it? In his heart, in his mind. So when he was declaring, he was picturing them as very good. What was he seeing and calling very good? It was what he was seeing in the spirit. Hi.
Somebody say imagination won't wound me, but I will allow it to wound me. Let imagination wound me.
Can I tell you something? I have imagined. Very soon at immersion camp, we will be hiring private jets to carry our people. All this one we are using bus. You know the way Nigeria roads are. We don't know how long. We have been praying for them to fix the road for the past 60 something years. We don't know when God will answer. But we know that God can answer speedily and provide jets for us. Are you with me?
Where we will tell all people in, we are register for, if you are coming for the immersion camp, register. We have a flight that can take 200 people. Boeing 707. We have rented it. All you need to do is wear your t-shirt that wrote new breed. Show at the airport and they will carry you where to go.
These are pictures I've seen. These are pictures I've seen. These are see. And sometimes when God wants to help you, he will not even wait for you to picture it. He will give you pictures. That's why he gives you dreams. He will give you pictures so that you hold on to the picture as a substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've not seen it yet in the physical, but God showed me something. God showed me something. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. When I've been declaring the door to the future is open, I know what I'm saying. The door to the future is opened. Let me tell you, you see this kind of teachings? This is how people transit. So, you are going through a tough time, God will show you a dream. Show you something in the future. Show you, so that you remember, I saw it. No, I saw it. It's possible.
Oh, in our family, people, anybody that get married, nobody is getting married.
You will see yourself, you will be in a wedding. You and you will be there. People of God, you see this church, we are going to celebrate many, many marriages.
Yeah. Beautiful homes. Yeah. Beautiful families. Yeah. So he told you, cast not away your confidence. Don't cast it away. Can you say after me, I believe God.
So even God, before he saw it physically, he saw it in the spirit and said it was good. And guess what? He so declared it to the point where he said he finished. So even God too has to go through what is called being fully persuaded. It's finished. So after me, my destiny has been settled already. God also taught Abraham this. He said in Genesis 13 verse 14 to 15, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lord was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Lift up thy eyes from the place where thou art. I know you are in a dungeon right now, but if you can lift up your eyes and look, all the land which thou seest. He even called Abraham and said, count the number of the stars. That was God teaching him prophetic imagination. God was telling him, come. He said, come, count it. Count it if you can. Count it, count it, count it. If you can count the number of the stars, so shall your children be. Can you count it? Sometimes when God wants to help you, he will bring you around people whose present look like your future. And as you are looking at them, you are like, ah, I see it's possible. I see. God will be showing you, look, what you are seeing right now, that is what you will be in a short while. Are you following me? And sometimes, God will even orchestrate it so much, that people will even begin to tell you, you look like that person,
He looked like that. Like, for instance, I am tired. I think, see, I have been told almost 100 times. I am tired of being told it. I don't want to. When people tell me, I'll tell them I know. Everywhere I go to in Abuja, I say, are you? You look like Paul Enetche. You look like Pastor Paul Enetche. I say, it's true. It's true. It's true. I know. I know. I agree. Praise the Lord. Say, I agree, it's true. One asked me, are you his son? I say, I'm his son. Where do you want me to talk? My son is now Generubo. Praise the Lord. That's what God did for Peter. You may criticize Peter that he sank, but at least he was the only disciple on record that walked on water. What are you seeing? And now I'm going to end with a text. Oh, blessed be God. Jonah chapter 2 from verse 8. Thank you, Lord. Jonah chapter 2 from verse 8. It says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Hey! Can you say after me, in my life, I will not observe lying vanities. You know what that means? There are many things that will be looking so real as though they are telling you this is what it is. But you tell yourself, I will not observe lying vanities. They are lying vanities. I will not give them the attention they are trying to deserve. I will not give them. Are you with me? Sometimes you look at your pocket, you look at the business, you look at your life. They are lying vanities. They will disappear. Are you with me? God has the power to turn all things for good, and that is what I choose to believe. Ah, Jesus. You know, one of the major reasons why God was angry with Israel was that God expected that with what they saw in Egypt, they had no reason to doubt him again. Are you following me? Let me tell you something. There is nothing God has asked us to do that we will not do. No. Do you know where God picked us from? You know where God picked me from? You know where God picked this ministry from? Ah. That we have reached this place. Forget it. The future is finished. It's finished. Yeah. Mommy attended one service in that classroom now. Upstairs. See, there was no hope that will come out of that. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I want to ask you, what are the lying vanities that are currently happening that you are observing? What are the lying vanities that you are observing? You know, even the way people talk. See, we will know what you have been thinking by what you are talking. Oh, Jesus. Let me tell you something, You have to take exercises. Stay with yourself until that negativity, that lying vanity that is trying to hold your heart has broken. See, there is a way something has changed. You can no longer... Let me give an example. Imagine you were struggling financially and it was very tight. Then suddenly you got an alert of 15 million. Then you already told somebody that this is very tight. Then the person has said, so how are you going to manage? The person does not know that something has entered your account. Then he now comes back to the parlor and say, how are you going to manage? For you to keep on saying that things are tight, you feel like you are lying. You know? And don't worry, there will be a way. Don't worry, we'll run out. He said, I thought you were saying... For you to keep on saying the things you are saying, you will feel like if I keep telling the person, there is no way. Oh. You will feel like you are lying. That thing that is happening is what's supposed to happen before the money comes. So you have to stay with the word of God till, if you want to declare negativity, you feel like you are lying. I was talking to my wife. I was trying to tell my wife, things are becoming expensive now. There was no money in my account when I was trying to do that. Though. I fear the Holy Ghost. Come, let me demonstrate something. Let's assume you are my wife. Please, you are not my wife. Oh. It's just for acting. We don't do any. We cast every spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism out of our country. So, let's assume you are my wife. And let's assume this was me. I was trying to tell my wife that, you know, things are tough. Right now, the ministry is going through a very tough time. We need money. Even for us as a family, we don't even know where we're going to make. As I was trying to say that, I felt, do like you want to go to him. As I was trying to say, I felt like the Holy Ghost was holding me. What are you saying? What do you want to say? What do you want to say? Eh? Keep doing like you're going. What are you trying to say? Come on, stop that. Stop that thing that you are saying. Stop that thing. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. That's how I feel. I felt like, after a while, as I wanted to explain more, I don't know when I said, you know what? But you know we always win. You know? There will always be a way. You know? You know we cannot be stopped. You know now? You know? We always break through. I feel the Holy Ghost saying, now you come. You were trying to speak your reality, not knowing that that is actually a lying vanity. Your real reality is what God has said. Those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You don't even know if God is working out something already. You don't know. See, close your eyes and say after me, in the name of Jesus, I am a compendium of possibilities. I am a daily miracle. I am a daily miracle. I expect only the best. I expect only the best. All things work for my good. In spite of challenges, in spite of trials, I prevail. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. Glory! Jump on your feet and do this. Glory! Pray in the spirit right now. As you are praying, begin to see.